Ancestry.com advertises that it can help you understand your genealogy. Through its online records, you can go back generations and build your family tree and see your story emerge one step at a time. And if you go a step further and give them your DNA, you discover who is all in the family. Courtney used Ancestry.com and allowed her to discover this about herself. She says that she comes from a long line of strong women. Her maternal side, from her mother to her grandmother and back to the wise women leaders in her Guyanian society, tells a story about their resilience, tenacity. So she has rewritten her story, exploring the relationship between her mother and drawing on that bloodline for strength. So today only, for $99, I can sign you up for 6 months of research, and you can begin to find your family history. What are you waiting for? In Matthew's gospel, we have the genealogy of Jesus, and we discover that Ruth is not only David's family tree, but Jesus' family tree as well. If you go a step further and look into Jesus' family tree, you'll see both flawed and faithful, heroic and human, like Abraham, Jacob, and David, a Moabite girl named Ruth. You'll see a son born to Ruth and Boaz named Obed. And Obed has a son named Jesse, who has a son named David, King David. With the ending of the story of Ruth, we witness a grandmother, Naomi, holding her grandchild. A very powerful moment, especially for you that are grandparents. This child is family to her not because of blood, but because of Ruth, who calls them family. In a way, maybe Ruth is not only defining, but maybe redefining for us a definition of faith and family, especially on this day that we recognize mothers. As we get into the story, a famine is taking place in the southern part of Israel, in Bethlehem. The crisis is forcing individuals and families to make a move to find food to put on their table. Our family, a father, a mother, and two sons, do as their other forebears, like Abraham did. They move to a foreign land. This happens to be Moab. Elimelech, Naomi, and the two sons travel east to Moab. We might think that the main part of this story would be the father and the two sons, but that is far from the truth. Fleeing death because of hunger, the family runs in to death. We learn that the father dies, leaving Naomi a single parent. The two sons eventually, within the 10-year period, take on two wives, Moabite wives of Orpah and Ruth. And since there was a difference in Moabites and those from Judah, there was quite a decision, a far-reaching, especially in that day, to take on marriage with someone from a different culture. But within 10 years, the two sons die, and all that's left are three women. Step back. To underscore the situation, we must remember the culture norms of that day. It was dominated by one sex, the male. A woman needed some male, a brother, a father, a husband, a son, to take care of her and to be there for her, or she was in a desperate situation. The families in Moab, We learn that the famine in Bethlehem is over, and Naomi decides to leave Moab and return to her home, to her relatives. We see her returning along with her two daughter-in-laws, remembering that both Orpah and Ruth married outside of their society, these two boys from Judah. So in many ways, they too had cut off their ties, their connections to those in their family and their culture. When Naomi decides to go back home, these two women seem to have no concerns or questions that they would go with her, that they would leave their home as well. But along the way, Naomi urges them to return home, to return to their family. One decides to return and one decides to continue on with her mother-in-law. Each decision, as all decisions, had consequences, but neither was wrong or meant that one cared for or loved their mother-in-law more or less. We read that Orpah returns to Moab and Ruth continues on, and we have in Ruth that beautiful passage that is often in poetry and even in songs. "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home," Ruth says. "Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die. And that's where I'll be buried, so help me God. Not even death itself is going to come between us." And the scripture says, when Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in. And so the two traveled together to Bethlehem. A quick side note, you probably hear this a lot at weddings. I've always been tempted in marriage counseling to tell those that when you have it, you're not saying that to your husband, you're saying that to your mother-in-law. Thought better leave that alone. The words from Ruth are a profound declaration of faith. "Your God is my God." Phyllis Tribble at Wake Forest University has said, "Not even Abraham's leap of faith surpasses this decision of Ruth's. For Naomi's religious teaching to Ruth has now become a part of Ruth. Her life, her heart, her whole being is now to follow not only Naomi, but God." A decision born out of love, devotion, and loyalty, but surely not an easy decision. Throughout the four chapters of Ruth, no evidence or clues are given to us in the deaths and tragedies of the women had to endure Moab. But even as Naomi goes back to her home, we see and begin to witness in her that she has no hope. She's angry and bitter. Could we not blame her? Look at all this happened to her family. And she is greeted by her community. She comes across as one who has been robbed of the value of her personhood and rather a hopeless situation. She even says her new name is Mara, for she is a bitter one. She went away full, but came back and returned to her family empty. Her homecoming is spoiled by grief, anger, and bitterness, even towards God. But maybe in some way, the fact that Ruth was returning with Naomi gave her some hope, some kind of love and assurance that maybe things would turn out better. And right away, the story takes a turn. And we learn that upon their return, of course the famine's over, but the barley harvest is happening. So together, Ruth and Naomi journey to Bethlehem, and through their cleverness, through the acts of God, and through their love of each other, they meet Boaz, and they begin to find and build a new life. Another side note of the day, there were two customs operating in that day. One had to do with marriage. It was so arranged that the widows would be cared for by their descendants and that family line would continue. Thus, the next of kin was obligated to take his dead relative's widow as his wife and to provide children in order to keep the family line going. The other thing that we see taking place, and maybe one that speaks to more of where we are in our lives, the code for farmers was to allow widows and orphans and resident aliens, those immigrants, to harvest along the edge of one's fields to glean any grain that was dropped. And that is what Ruth does. Ruth convinces Naomi to allow her to go and glean in the fields of Boaz. And upon learning from this, Boaz gives special help to Ruth. He has learned of what Ruth has been doing for Naomi. Surprised and humble at the kindness that she has shown, Boaz tries to tell his folks to leave even more grain so that she will have a better life. The scripture says, "May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward for the Lord, the God of Israel, upon whose wings you have come for refuge." Even in the midst of the suffering, the hurt, the pain, refuge is found and food is found. Our story begins to take a turn, and we see Naomi moving into action as she begins to help Ruth and Boaz see the need for each other, and the matchmaking begins. Naomi herself had begun to find a measure of security, but now she wanted more. She wanted a family that she had always yearned for but had never had and had caused her bitterness. And now, like us, she wanted a family to love and to belong. Ruth's care and attention to Naomi seemed to inspire Naomi. We read, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you." So now Naomi begins to take care of Ruth. And we see the story unfolding of how she has Ruth to go to Boaz and instructs her to be there for him. And Boaz, the older man, eventually surprised that a younger woman would come to him, decides that he needs to take her as his wife. And he does his due diligence. He makes sure of all the legal ramifications of the day. He checks in with Naomi's kin. He buys land from the family. And he begins to take responsibility for Ruth and Naomi. And once everything is clear, he takes Ruth to be his bride, his wife. A story filled with death, darkness, and now we become witnesses to a marriage, a pregnancy, a child is born, and Naomi is blessed with her family, and she becomes the one who will care for this child. From this union came Obed, the grandfather of David. The community who had welcomed Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth back home give thanks because now Naomi is blessed. She is blessed with a redeemer, one who will restore her life and nourish her in her old age. And they also applaud Ruth, who has loved Naomi and given her a grandson. You cannot look at Ruth, her religious heritage, maybe even her skin color, or maybe her heritage of where she was born. We have to look beyond that. We have to look at her love. She is in love with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and not only that, she has fallen in love with God. And I think that maybe Ruth is redefining for us the definition of family and faith. For it seems that we live in an age where faith is often not passed down by our families like it once may have been. Our spiritual fathers and mothers are not necessarily our biological fathers and mothers. And we live in an age afflicted by death, of course, and divorce, but also distance. community life has and is changing for our journey as well as it did in their time. So a family story that struggled and saw individuals seeking to find where they belonged should inspire us to find where we too belong. From hunger and poverty and death, we witness a story of self-preservation and survival. We follow a remarkable story of two women and meet a remarkable man, not only willing to follow the law, but to act in a humanitarian way. From death to birth, we witness the gift of life in these four short chapters. And in a time when law and family rights dictated the way things must happen, we see a child born into a family not because of blood, but because one woman, Ruth, made sure that all around her were involved in family. So just maybe this short book in our Old Testament gives us a glimpse of the face of God, helping us to see that family can look a whole lot different than we may think or what society may think it should look like. The book of Ruth may be silent on the question of exactly where God is in the story, but my friends, is not life a lot like that? Do we not often have to decide what is sacred and where we fit in and how God relates to us? For his grace abounds, but we have to open the door. Ruth had and was faced with choices, but as the story unfolds, we see it not necessarily as a choice, but an act of love. This Ruth passage is read every Pentecost by our Jewish brothers and sisters. It thrives for them because it is a story about love that leads with choices. What do you do when a famine comes? When your husband dies? When your children die? When you are far from home and when your name is bitter? If you belong to God, you do the only thing you can do. You keep on loving. God is always there. And that is a theme we must remember. And in our story of Ruth and Naomi, I do not believe that God caused the tragedies that changed their lives. I do believe we must acknowledge suffering and pain and death. But above that, we must remember that God has the ability of healing and transforming us each and every moment of our lives. And there is no wound so deep that God's grace cannot find it. There is no darkness so complete that God's light cannot find its way through. So here in new ways and new people, God restores joy and gives hope. God's provisions often come in those unfamiliar places, those new relationships, those uncomfortable circumstances that we find ourselves in and wonder if we will ever survive. So with the ever-changing family of today and the need for voices of the outcast and the disenfranchised, I think the story of Ruth cries out maybe even more powerful to us today as we celebrate motherhood. We witness dignity being restored as one seeks and reaches out for help. We see love for the outcast and the hurt in society. And we are reminded that women and girls need their voices to be heard, and we need to offer encouragement to all of God's people. I think Ruth and Naomi and Boaz show us community in its best form. It's difficult. It may be dirty. It may cause problems. But in the end, it is the best form of community through a difficult journey we witness the hope of life and the grace of Almighty God and the blessings of a new birth. So I ask you, as I ask myself, what better way for us to remember and to celebrate this day in which we choose to honor our mothers? May the love of God bless us now and every day as we seek to follow Him. Thanks be to God.